Hi. This is the team in the Collaborative Ministry Office, our online ministry, doing our conversation about the second half of Holy Week, which is the Sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. This is something we're excited to talk about because these feast days and celebrations take us real time into the final days of Jesus and into the meaning of our salvation. Holy Thursday, I think, ought to be a holy day of obligation. All of us ought to be drawn there that Thursday night to celebrate the meaning of the Eucharist in our discipleship.
There is only one celebration on Holy Thursday. It's at night, it's in our church, and the whole community comes together for the one celebration. And it is a spectacular liturgy.
It is, because in that liturgy we hear from Exodus the story of the Passover and how it's to be celebrated. We hear Paul tell us the institution of the Eucharist, the story we know so well from the other Gospels, that Jesus took bread on the night he was betrayed, and the way we hear those words in the Eucharistic prayers. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, then he took the cup of wine and said, "This is my blood. Do this in memory of me." But tonight we read John's Gospel, in which John does that same narrative but in a symbolic form, the way Jesus washed the feet of his disciples to show us the meaning of love.
And really, that's what he's saying. This is, do this in memory of me.
Wash this gift each other's of myself. Feet. That he's showing us, this is not about words. This is about deeds. That love involves this sharing of ourself. And the one who will tomorrow open his arms on the cross is showing us with this profound gesture of the foot washing that we are to wash each other's feet. We are to open ourselves in self-donation. That's the meaning of what we're celebrating. And it brings it together because what we're going to do is do the Eucharist. We're going to celebrate the Eucharist where he gives us his body and gives us his blood and says, "Do this in memory of me." It's so similar to the words he says, "I have given you an example. Now you love one another." And of course, it's a marvelous liturgy. We're all there in anticipation. Our entrance procession brings in the sacred oils that we're going to use. Yes,
and we kind of call them forth into the community. Three different groups or representatives bring forth the oil of the catechumens.
Sacred chrism, which we use for baptism, confirmation, and the ordination. It's the all of the sacraments of service.
And
we use it to consecrate an altar, a new church, and then, of course, the oil for the sick.
And these would have been blessed on Holy Thursday morning at the Chrism Mass, or perhaps earlier in the week. Traditionally, it was on Holy Thursday morning. And in the main cathedral for the archdiocese or the diocese, and representatives from every parish and every priest would be there, because Holy Thursday is also a celebration of priesthood.
Exactly, and that Chrism Mass in the morning, or as you say, earlier in the week at some Mass in the morning, all the priests are there of the diocese, and they make their commitment again to their promises of priestly service. And it's really moving if you ever get a chance to go to the Chrism Mass.
And then the Chrism is sent back to each of these parishes, and that's how Holy Thursday begins, with the carrying in and the presenting of these oils to the parish and what they represent for the next year of ministry in that parish.
And then Holy Thursday has its special role that at the end of this liturgy, we end quietly. The sanctuary is stripped bare.
It's very dramatic. There's
solemnly,
usually in silence or with some very solemn music playing in the background. And it's ritually, people come in, they take each thing off, the candles, the cross, everything that's on there, and fold up all the cloths, and you just leave it quietly.
So in your parish community on Holy Thursday night, try to stay there. Sometimes people think it's over and leave when the lights go down and things get quiet. But remain there a little bit. We have taken the Blessed Sacrament out of the tabernacle, and it's reserved in another chapel or another part of the church for adoration that night.
And it's processed around the church, and probably in our church we sang Tantum Ergo, which is one of the oldest hymns in
sure.
the history of our church.
So we go to an empty church and even an empty tabernacle, and it's the night that Jesus is in jail. He's been arrested in the garden after supper, and the disciples have run away, and there's a real sense of emptiness and waiting for Good Friday.
And the way it ends, there is no dismissal rite. We don't say, go in peace to love
right.
it. Because, in a sense, this is continued all night long. There's a sense that we are in this vigil with Jesus all night long through his own passion that he's going through. And then tomorrow, when we gather for Good Friday, there's not a gathering rite, because it is all three of these liturgies, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, are really intricately entwined.
And
in a sense,
Friday,
they're all one.
Good Friday, we do not celebrate the Eucharist.
Right.
We have a prayer service on Good Friday that involves a liturgy of the Word, veneration of the cross, and a communion service, which is
the communion
using
from
the
Holy
Eucharist
Thursday.
From the day before that's
right.
been reserved overnight. And it's like fasting on that day from celebrating the Eucharist so that we can focus on the Passion of our Lord. And so we tell the story each year from John's Gospel. Last Sunday, when we celebrated Passion Sunday, we read from one of the other Gospels. And
they rotate the synoptics depending on which cycle it is.
So this is John's Gospel. A great way to prepare for Good Friday is to read that in advance so we know what's coming as it's read solemnly at the Good Friday service.
You know, really, there's lots of ways to prepare for this week, to kind of enter into it more deeply. We've talked about slowing down a little and kind of decreasing the pace of our life. But reading the Passion, reading pieces of it every day, whether it's, you know, any one of the versions, but taking parts of it every day, just reading it and sitting with it for a few minutes, changes the feeling of our day. And or we can listen to music, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell or something along the classical music that really enters more deeply into the sacred. Anything that moves us into the feeling of this week.
And if we've read the story and remember it, we can be thinking about the trials that morning and the actual terrible scene in front of Pilate and the movement toward that noon crucifixion. And it was traditional in our family that the time between noon and 3 o'clock, we did nothing. We would pray at home and do the sorrowful mysteries, do the stations of the cross, but we didn't have conversation or TV or anything going on because we wanted that to be a sacred time, to be grateful, to recognize that this was the gift of our salvation. And usually these Good Friday services are celebrated in our parishes at noon or at 3, something like that, or maybe even in the evening if they're so crowded.
And even for those among us who have to go to work that day, we might have to be at the office or at our jobs on Good Friday. We can still carry a sense of that sacredness with us all day. And it's a fast day, and we can still be with that and then get to church services that night, maybe.
Great. And this service, as Maureen said, begins quietly and ends quietly.
There's no dismissal.
And so we have an opportunity to stay there. What goes on during it, in the center of it, after the Liturgy of the Word, is the veneration of the cross. That's done in a variety of ways. Some churches have a very large cross, wooden cross, somewhere central, and people come up, touch it, kiss it, embrace it, kneel down in front of it. I used to love the parish I was a part of before. You'd see these elderly people come up and just lean up against it, wrap their arms around it, and kiss it solemnly.
I think it's almost as moving and prayerful in some ways to watch the people coming. It is to watch their own love and compassion and their own devotion as they're embracing the cross, as they're on their knees hugging it or kissing it or whatever. Sometimes people just come up very shyly and touch it and leave.
It's a very important way for us to remember. To remember him as loving us, to remember him as letting go, and to express our thank you. If I gave you $1,000, you'd throw your arms around me and say thank you. If we get in touch with what this gift is, the privilege of coming up in this ritual way and saying thank you. That great line, "Behold the wood of the cross, on which hung the Savior of the world. Come, let us adore." Beautiful. That leads us to the long wait. Jesus died, lost his life, entered the final way in which he identified with every one of us.
How do you spend Holy Saturday then?
Well, Good Friday night and Holy Saturday are feeling the loss. Recognizing what we don't think about very often is that he died. He was dead. He was buried, just as we are, except before the resurrection. And we pray, or we acknowledge, that he descended into hell. Means he descended among the dead, and who had no hope to tell them there was hope. And the resurrection happened on Easter to restore our hope, to bring salvation to the world. And so we want to celebrate that, and we begin celebrating that with an Easter vigil.
And we begin in the dark.
It begins in the dark, but as you asked, what do we do on Holy Saturday? We wait. And it's not easy in this modern world. But I think it's wonderful to not be running around doing all kinds of things. We may have guests in town that we have to entertain. We may be visiting somewhere else. We may have lots of errands to do. We will probably have children at home. So there's many obligations, maybe dinner we have to get ready. But to be thinking about the day where the tomb has the body of Jesus in it.
And what was Mary's day like day, and John, and Peter, and James, and all the followers, their own sense of loss and fear and bewilderment?
All they imagined doing was visiting the tomb.
Yeah.
And the way we've celebrated for a very long time is to wait in vigil together as a community.
The Easter vigil begins in the dark. And
we light the fire. Usually you'll see in the back of the church a big fire that's lit. And it's this new fire that we use to light the Paschal candle, which is processed to the front of the church in this darkness. And we all receive a candle, which is lit so that we receive the light from the new candle, which
it's
represents
a wonderful thing.
Christ himself.
Here's suddenly in minutes, the church is lit up with each one of us holding the light of Christ in our hands that has been spread by each other. We've been given the light of Christ.
then this marvelous prayer is sung. The exultet is a way to exult, to share our joy, and it's like a Eucharistic prayer. It gives thanks to God, just like we do in the Eucharistic prayer, for the joy of this light. And it is on our website. You can find it in a missal or missalette. It's worth reading before going, because it's a powerful, powerful song of joy about this light that's in our midst. After that comes the readings, which are also in the dark.
Because we have a number of readings, it's our salvation history. We go through the Old Testament readings.
And these readings are from the Exodus, from the... These readings are from the creation story in Genesis, both of them through the Exodus story, through the story of the prophets. There are 9 of them that are there for us to read in vigil, waiting for the light. And then what happens is we explode it as all the lights come up, and we prepare now to read the New Testament, which begins with Paul's letter to the Romans.
Because the light of Christ has come. Is that the...
Yeah. And it's, are you not aware that we who've been baptized are baptized into Christ Jesus? And if we've been baptized into his death, so shall we be in his resurrection. All of that preparing us later for the baptism rite.
And the elect...
who've been preparing for baptism... we ask them, after the gospel and the homily, to come up and kneel down or prostrate themselves, lay down on flat on the ground. Sometimes they're dressed in a garment that they in which they can be baptized, a smock or something. And we pray the litany of the saints. We do that at great times. We do it on the occasion of the ordination of a priest. It's the other way around. We do it on the occasion of the baptism of an adult, and we do the same thing in the ordination of a priest.
There's something very moving about that. It calls back all the men and women who have been before us.
Exactly.
It really calls into our presence a sense of this long history of our church and the tradition. And it gives me chills at ordinations, and it gives me chills at the vigil on Easter.
Then we go to the preparations for the baptism. And if you've ever seen it, it's really stirring to see these new people desiring baptism, and the time has come. Whether they're baptized with water pouring over their head, or whether they're immersed into the water, there's some powerful elements. The first is blessing the water. We take that paschal candle, and we dip it, immerse it in the water, and it reminds us of Jesus as our Savior himself, who entered the waters of baptism, just as he now enters the tomb. The font becomes both the tomb and the womb, out of which there is death and rebirth. And the prayers all echo that.
After the baptism, the people who have been, which there's such an exuberance and such a joy in the faces of these adults who have just been baptized, and then they're handed a lit candle.
First of all, they're handed a white garment.
That's right.
They go in the back and they get dressed in a white garment, and they come out in this new white garment, which represents, as it does, what we've seen so many times with the baptism of babies. Receive this white garment, bring it unstained to the joys of everlasting life. That's the white garment we put on the casket for a funeral. And then they receive the light of Christ.
It's that candle. It's the continuity of all of these symbols that come together on wonderful liturgies like this.
Actually, before they receive the candle, while they're there in their white garment, they're anointed with sacred chrism. Mm-hmm. On their forehead, a cross is made on there. And they're claimed, as Jesus was anointed, priest, prophet, and king. the words we see in the Second Vatican Council that describe our role as we are baptized. As Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live this life in union with Christ. Powerful stuff. And then those who are coming for full incorporation into the church, those already baptized as Christians, now come to be confirmed with the same oil, and they're confirmed and given the light of Christ as well. So now the Eucharist goes forward with these newly baptized, dressed in their white garments, and the people who are newly confirmed with their candles at their place, and they prepare to receive the third sacrament of initiation, the Eucharist. We had dismissed them Sunday after Sunday and said, we wait with great expectation to be joined with you at the table of the Lord. And now we don't dismiss them. Now they are the faithful with us. And we...
And these are the people we have been praying for as a community.
Exactly.
Week after week after week, particularly during Lent. And now we see that they have come to the end of their journey in this wonderful event, in this wonderful night.
And they receive communion for the first time with their sponsors. And what joy is in their hearts. I've seen people with tears flowing after they were baptized. And again, when they receive the Eucharist for the first time. And it's really quite wonderful.
It must be remarkable to be a priest in this setting.
Oh, it's just a great privilege. And it renews my faith in the meaning of baptism, the precious gift of the Eucharist, and all of the sacraments and how effective they are, and to see the whole community so wonderful. What often is one of the best parts of the evening is the reception afterwards.
Yes.
In which you get to embrace these people, congratulate them, let them know we're one community. I've heard many of them say this is just such a rich part of the evening, is to see how happy we as faithful are that they are now part of the body of Christ with us. Sunday morning, when most people celebrate Easter, we want to encourage people, if you've never celebrated the vigil, it's just a treat. But maybe you've got guests and you aren't able to do that, or very young children
or other circumstances.
It is a real treasure of the church to celebrate the Easter vigil. If you celebrate on Easter Sunday morning, you know the electric feel of walking into that church. There's music going on. People seem happy. People seem dressed up a little bit. Families seem larger because there's guests and visitors. And there's people who perhaps only celebrate a couple times a year come on Easter, and there's something alive of the Spirit in the church as you gather.
And in the altar, right there, very visible, will be the baptismal font, wherever they were baptized last night.
Right. And so as we prepare to move into the last days of Holy Week, keep an eye on what these celebrations are like and put them on your calendar. Talk your family into it and really enjoy the fullness of what the church offers. I often think of people who say, I didn't get anything out of it. Often miss the things that are the richest to get something out of, and certainly these days are.
And all religious experiences prepared for, and as Father Andy said, on our website are individual pages on how to prepare for Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil.
What we do at each of these Masses, of course, for Easter is renew our baptismal promises. Now, not perhaps with the candidates, but as a community of believers. And it's a great thing to prepare for, to know that I'm going to say, yes, I renounce Satan and all his works. I refuse to be mastered by them. Wonderful now to say on Easter after a Lent preparing for this journey.
So enjoy the journey. Enjoy the days ahead. They're very sacred.
And let's give thanks for our salvation. Amen.
Amen.